This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to The Scorecard.
Many doubted we'd ever see it.
Where we focus on Chicagoland and national golf news.
But here it is. The return to glory.
Can't help but think of the long one he made in San Diego to pick up his first PGA Tour win in style. Here it comes. Here it
watch out!
Comes!
And there's no doubt about it. The bear has come out of hibernation.
With your hosts, score golf expert and editor of Chicago District Golfer Magazine, Barry Cronin.
Well, here it comes.
Oh my goodness.
And Mike Esposito.
In your life have you seen anything like that?
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about in?
That is better than most.
Better than most!
Presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
And good morning and welcome into The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine here on a glorious Saturday morning at the end of June. Barry Cronin, Mike Esposito here with you every Saturday from 6 to 8. Talking golf with you 2 hours on your Saturday morning, and plenty to go over this week, including a glorious finish to the U.S. Open last weekend. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Mike. How about you? How are you doing?
Everything is good, my friend, and hope all is well with you and your family as well. And the Open last weekend, we talked about it. I don't want to pat you and I on the back, but we may have called that one.
Well, we certainly called the fact. First of all, it's so sad that it's raining today, but I think Maybe the fact that it's raining, maybe we have a couple more listeners, you know, because they're not out on the course yet.
Could be.
It was interesting, Mike. We certainly mentioned the fact that our good buddies Richard Bland and Russell Henley would probably wake up on Sunday and say, what on earth are we doing at the top of the leaderboard here at the U.S. Open? And Richard, who's a great dude, he was really Jimmy Roberts had a really nice profile of him during the telecast on Saturday. But he shot 77 on Saturday or 70 and 78 on Sunday or something like that, mid to high 70s both days. And but he had a great championship. It was really a good showing for him. And of course, Russell Henley had a pretty bad final round. I think he shot like 5 over. So anyway, but you know what? That's not a bad thing. And Russell is up there. He's playing pretty well this week at the Travelers out in Connecticut. So that's good. But then, Sunday was terrific. And we did sort of say, hey, don't be sleeping on old John Rahm. And boy, he came out of the gates. And we think about the two putts that he made on 17 and 18, which were just awesome. I mean, really great clutch putts and really, I think, made this championship, you know, maybe the best U.S. Open, certainly since 2008 when Tiger and Rocco Mediate had their a 19-hole playoff on Monday, and maybe the best since 1991 with when Payne Stewart beat Phil Mickelson at Pinehurst. But John came out of the gates. Not only did he make those two final putts, but he came out and he made two birdies right off the bat on number one and two, And it was kind of like, uh-oh, wow. And then on three, he made about a 20-footer for par, just to save par. And it was like, that was pretty good. He bogeyed the next hole, but he played great. And after, I think he, after he made that bogey on number four on the, in the final round, I don't think he made another bogey all day. And then he made those birdies on the back nine to win. And that was really, those are really obviously incredibly clutch putts. I mean, when I'm, you know, when you're yelling and getting off the couch and you go, oh my God, that was the best putt I've ever seen. Right. I mean, a left to right breaker, of good distance. That was pretty exciting. And he really, he played. And the other thing was that tee shot off of 17, you know, you think, oh man, you know, he could, you know, this tee shot maybe go anywhere. He hit it, striped it right down the middle, and you go, wow, this guy's going to win this tournament. And because you saw what happened in the next group, good old Louis Oosthuizen, Mr. Grand Slam of second place at the majors. I mean, left was the Barranca, right, in the junk in the Pacific Ocean, and right was the state of California. And how do you not hit it at the state of California like everybody else in the field did? And he hits it left. It was unbelievable. So
and they were talking, and I couldn't help but chuckle at this, because the entire time they're talking about how steady Louis was with his driver. And then the one hole, as you said, it's like, don't hit it left, don't hit it left, don't hit it left. And, of course, right, he winds up hitting it left. And actually, he could have, if he had made that putt on 17, then we're possibly talking about, if he just plays out 18 as it did, then we're talking about a playoff on 18, right? So
yeah, exactly. No, exactly. He had a chance, but the fact that he hits it there, and as soon as he hit it there, you go, well, there's no way, because no way he can tie, because you know he hits it out of bounds. That's one. Then he has to take a drop. That's two. And now he's hitting three to the green on the par four. And even though it's quote unquote only 434, you know, for me and you, it's, you know, practically a par five. he blew it. It was kind of sad to see, but it's interesting. You know, you get a little bit nervous and you don't finish your backswing. You get a little bit quick, just infinitesimally quick, and the ball goes left. That's just the way it is. You got to finish your backswing and hit it, and he just didn't do it. And Azinger said that right afterwards. He said, you know, he didn't finish his backswing, and it's right. I do it all the time.
Yeah, right. But we don't, right. And it was, but it was great theater, and, you know, lots of people think Jon Rahm is, you know, the top golfer in the world right now. And he certainly came out and proved it. At the U.S. Open, Oosthuizen finishes second, but really a packed leaderboard. You had Rory up there. I thought for a second there Rory might make a run, but he struggled with his putter. And
he shot 39 on the back. He shot 39 on the back, and he can't make a putt. I mean, that's a guy that just is at this point, you know, he's pretending not to care. He plays great early. You know, he plays great early, you know, for Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then all of a sudden, you can't do anything on Sunday. I mean, it's crazy. But you're right. The leaderboard looked like the I thought I was looking at the FedEx Cup leaderboard. You know what I mean? You look at the guys or the World Golf Ranking leaderboard. I mean, it was super impressive. Whereas you look at 2008, it was a Tiger versus Rocco kind of thing. You know, and so this was really terrific. It was like a NASCAR race, and all the top drivers coming around the turn in the last the last few laps. And I mean, DeChambeau, man, he was leading the tournament. Everybody thought he was going to win when he made the turn, and then he crashes and burns, starting at number 11, and then he made an eight. I mean, he shot 44. I thought the coolest thing was they showed his scorecard, and my wife cares nothing about golf. She doesn't know anything about golf and whatever. But needless to say, this is the one tournament I'm watching while she's there.
Right.
And they showed his card. They showed his card on the screen with all the squares around all these holes, you know, and then multiple squares around. I go, that's my card. That's my card. This guy's a pro at the U.S. Open, and you know, he makes an eight. It's like too much.
Right. Yeah. You and I are the ones hitting balls next to 12 packs of beer, not the pros on the tour, right? I mean, that was kind of funny. I mean, and he was like, you very rarely see that type of just complete collapse out of anyone on the professional tour, right? I mean, that is, he was, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I could, exactly as you said. I mean, you thought he was going to win the tournament. And then all of a sudden, he's hitting eights. He's hitting stuff into the fans. He's hitting stuff next to, you know, the visual of the open 12 pack of beer and his ball sitting next to him. I'm like, that's my round, right? Exactly.
Well, I mean, some of that you understand. He's strategically trying to do that, but that wasn't the case on the back nine. He was just hitting it all over the place. And I think worse than anything, really, was his post game interview. That where he was saying, yeah, you know, it was just golf, and I got some bad breaks. It was bad luck. It was bad luck. And he kept saying it was bad luck, and you go, dude. I mean, he's usually pretty straight up. I mean, he does talk to the media. He's pretty transparent. But and he was saying it's bad luck. And you go, no, it wasn't bad luck. You played like a dog on the back nine, really.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think there are implications for, and, you know, John Rahm's number one in the world again, which is great. He's a great champion. He showed a lot of guts, a lot of passion. And I really think there's implications here for the U.S. Ryder Cup team, too, because those Euros are going to come over here like they did in 2012 at the at Medina. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to gain a lot of inspiration from him. And, you know, in the top 12 on that leaderboard, at the end of the day, there were only six Americans. So... and they, you know, and there were a couple of South Africans, obviously, but there were a few Europeans in there. So anyway, but yeah, it was all good.
It was all good. Phil did not come close, but there he was during the playoff, helping out with Rahm's wife and baby. You know, let me carry your chair, Mrs. Rahm.
Exactly. You know, two Arizona State grads, and Kelly, John's wife is. Yeah, she used to throw the javelin at Arizona State. I don't know if you know that. That's
I did
where
not
they
know
met.
That. No, that's
awesome.
That's
where they met. And I think, from what I understand, that she obviously helped him learn to speak his really impeccable English. I'm so impressed by him. He came over here to Arizona State on a golf scholarship and didn't speak a word of English. Hmm. And I think, you know, we White Sox fans know a lot of people like that. And but John Rahm he's been here obviously, you know, 4 years of college. He's 26 now.
Right.
And he speaks beautiful English, very articulate, really terrific, and really a good young man. So I was rooting for him, and I think a lot of people were. He showed a lot of guts.
Yeah, and we Cubs fans, we always have Sammy Sosa, who spoke flawless English in many, many interviews, and then in front of Congress, English. So.
Yeah, well, when you get in front of all those fabulous, fabulous people we know as congressmen who are leading the country so well, you could really, get verklempt, you know.
That's right. I digress on that. I was just trying to make a joke.
Right.
But,
We had
lots going on locally too, Barry, and I know you were out there at the Western Junior.
Yeah, I ran up there one day, and it was raining, so I got there just in time for the rain delay. It was perfect. but you did get to, you know, it was good for socialization. I ran into our friend Nick Papadakis, who was on the show last week. What a great guy. Found out he's from Bettendorf, Iowa.
No kidding.
One of the Quad Cities, home of the John Deere Classic, right? So
there you
that
go.
Was cool. Yeah, and they had a winner, 17-year-old Caleb Surratt of Matthews, North Carolina. And we thought that tournament that the kids were going to take that tournament apart, and because they only had 6,750 yards, par 70, and they didn't. The course held up real well. The beauty was there was a lot of wind, and I think they're not used to some of that old Scottish. I mean, it's one of the oldest courses in Chicago. That and Chicago Golf. So that was cool. And his dad caddied for him. That was great. And then then they also had the Women's Western Junior out at Aurora Country Club, and they had a winner there from the Chicago area, high school senior Mara Janis of Barrington, and she's already committed to play golf at Michigan. So that'll be good for her.
Sure.
And then we had a young man who's a senior at Louisville, Nick Tenuta. He's from Mount Prospect, went to Prospect High School. He won the 101st CDGA Amateur Championship at Bull Valley Country Club out in Woodstock. And he defeated it was a match play event. He wound up beating Brett Tomford. He's from Chicago, plays his golf out at Butterfield Country Club. Congratulations to Nick and Mara and Caleb. Great playing, and it's so great to see younger folks playing golf, and they play at such a high level. It's incredible. It's just incredible.
It really is, and you know, the great history of those tournaments, the Western Junior and the CDGA Amateur Championship, as you said, 100 plus years on each, and you know, the great, we talked with Nick last week about Onwencia and the history there. Really fascinating stuff, in addition to all of the great golf being played too. So awesome. And we have a great show for everybody coming up today. Quick peek at what we have coming up next. In our next segment, we'll talk to Matt Wenmaker, the executive director of the Illinois Junior Golf Association. Matt will join us right after this next break. In our Swing Thoughts segment, we'll talk to Dave Peglow, head pro at Kishwaukee Country Club in DeKalb. We'll talk playing under pressure. Maybe Louis Oosthuizen will listen in and pick up some pointers there. And I joke, of course, but that is what we'll talk about with Dave. At 7 o'clock, and we're excited about this one, you got to record an interview with NBC Golf's Tommy Roy, producer extraordinaire, head of golf coverage for NBC, 29 Emmy Awards, really a long and illustrious career on the television side of the game of golf. So we'll talk to Tommy at 7. And then we'll also talk to Dan O'Neill from The Morning Read, award-winning writer, columnist, formerly of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. So we will talk to Dan at 7:40. We'll find out what's going on at the Travelers Championship, and lots more. Plenty to come here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. This segment brought to you by Illinois PGA professionals, experts in the business and game of golf. When we return, Matt Wenmaker from Illinois Junior Golf Association will join us here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we are back on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. We are being soothed now by the Carpenters. Good Lord, Barry, what is going on here?
Connecticut. How about that? We have our Travelers music this week, and Lord knows.
The Karen Carpenter inspiring golfers around the country right now here on The Scorecard. Thank you, Adam Sadzinski, for this.
What was the guy's name? I can't remember. Was it her brother or was it her husband?
They were brother and sister. I want to say Richard. I don't know. I'll find out.
Doesn't matter. I'm sure we'll get a lot of text messages immediately telling us who her brother's name was. But yeah.
Yes, we are. We are back here on the scorecard with the Carpenters. We're enjoying ourselves here, broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And it's time now to head on out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is the executive director of the Illinois Junior Golf Association. Matt Wenmaker joins us now. Matt, good morning.
Hello.
Matt, good morning.
Hey. Guys, morning.
Oh, there you are.
Now. All right. You were so inspired by the Carpenters, Matt, that...
So were we. How's it going, Matt? Good to talk to you. Thanks so much for being on the air with us. The Illinois Junior Golf Association staff is the group that conducts the and organizes the Illinois State Junior Championship, which is coming up June 29th through July 1st at McRae Memorial Golf Course in Barrington. It's been there for a number of years. What are the ages of the kids that play, Matt?
Yeah, it's for ages 12 to 18, mainly high school age kids do qualify for. We do have a couple 12 to 13 year olds, but 144 player field. We cut to top 50 in ties after the second round, and right around par usually wins. McRae at Memorial, if you haven't played it, it's a pretty tough course. It's a tough setup for the players. It's our biggest tournament of the year, so we do like to set it up on the hard side for the kids.
So your defending champion is Ben Sluzis, right?
And yeah,
so,
yeah.
But is he eligible to come back, or is he already 19?
He's eligible to play. He's not playing this year. I'm sure he's playing somewhere else in the United States. He's going to be an incoming freshman at NIU this fall. He made the eagle on the last hole to win last year.
Wow.
Exciting finish, to say the least.
That's
now,
cool.
You mentioned Matt, about McRae and about how you try to set it up to be a little bit more difficult for the kids. How do the kids tend to react to that? I know how I react when I see that. Is that they take it in a positive way as a challenge?
Most take it in a positive way. I think they realize it's the state junior. It's their biggest tournament of the year for them included. So they expect it to be on the harder side. And as long as they come in with a positive attitude, they should do just fine.
And you've had some, I don't know if you could tell the folks some of the names of the winners and what they end up doing after high school, because it's a pretty impressive group. I think that folks around here, in the newspapers, they follow what used to be newspapers. I don't know that there are any anymore, but they used to follow, where do the basketball players go to college, and the football players, the high school football players, where are they committing? What's going on in golf? Where are these some of these winners wind up going?
Yeah, the big name is Doug Gim. He's on the PGA Tour. He won the state junior back in 2011. He set the competitive course record 65 out there, par 71. Matt McClear won 2 years ago. He won the Big Ten individual title. He's out at University of Iowa. And you may be familiar with Brad Merrick. He went to Indiana, played with Jeff Overton. He's a teaching professional out in California, but he just made the cut at the PGA Championship in May. He was one of two club professionals to make the cut. And then, Brennan O'Reilly, he just graduated from Illinois. He's our only three-time champion in the history of the state junior. And we're in our 52nd year for the state junior.
And, of course, all of our listeners will remember Brad Merrick because he was actually on the show after he played in the PGA.
That's right.
A nice guy. What a really nice guy he is. So that's very cool. Well, good. And the golf course, you've been there for a while, but the McRae family, it's a pretty special thing when they give up you're giving up the golf course for, what, 3 or 4 days, right, Matt? That's revenue right out of their pocket, especially with now, with golf just going so crazy, especially since the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, Monday through Thursday, the golf course is shut down. Monday, the kids get to play a practice round. They do have some public play, but there's hardly anybody out there for the kids to get around and get prepped before Tuesday's first round. And then, yeah, Tuesday through Thursday, just the junior golfers on the golf course. And it's amazing that, like you said, golf is so popular right now. It's hard for us even to find golf courses that will host us, moving forward. And that makes sense. But, Paul McRae Jr. doesn't hesitate. He shuts down the golf course. He's he's out there all 3 days watching the event, never asked for anything, and you would never know he owns the golf course until we do our awards presentation and thank him for all the work he does for us.
We are talking with Matt Wenmaker, the executive director of the Illinois Junior Golf Association. So the Illinois State Junior Championship is this coming week, the 29th through July 1st at McRae, as we're talking about. And Matt, better people through junior golf, that's the tagline, the slogan of the IJGA. Try to say that real fast. IJGA.org, while I'm at it, that is the website if you want to take a look at it. So how I imagine the interest is probably very strong, especially, you know, and Barry and I have talked about this on the professional level, but certainly amongst the youth of the area here for junior golf, especially in the last year plus with all of the lockdown issues with COVID.
Yeah. Luckily, we were able to run tournaments last year in the end of June in Illinois, and the demand was high. We had wait lists, you know, left and right. We didn't have a full schedule. We were kind of cautious with COVID, so we were only doing two tournaments a day. Sometimes we run up, you know, close to four tournaments a day during the summer. Our schedule this year is, you know, about 115 tournaments, and we have, again, wait lists for most events, 90-player fields for our, you know, single-day events, and, you know, the state junior and a few other tournaments. We've, you know, made some exceptions and had bigger fields. But, yeah, the demand is high. Golf is very popular, and it's obviously good for us, and hopefully next year we're back to a normal schedule.
Yeah, it's incredible, Mike, what the Illinois Junior Golf Association does, and Matt and his small staff of there's a total of six people working for this, and he said 115 tournaments in 2019, it was 140, right? So last year you had fewer because you had the state shutdown, and this year you have fewer than 140 because of the difficulty, I think, of getting the golf courses, right, Matt? I mean, that's the main thing.
That was one of the reasons. Yeah, we have six full-time staff. We also do hire 12 seasonal interns, college-age interns, to do an internship to get it on their resume. But yeah, we have a very small staff, and For the amount of tournaments we have, it's quite remarkable that we can turn around that quickly in such a small time frame, especially with, you know, the weather in the Midwest, as you guys have seen the last couple of days, and usually we're dealing with snow in the spring as well.
Yeah, the snow is the best. You know, I just want to encourage parents, if your children are at all interested in maybe tournament golf and everything, you can get them started as early as eight years old, and they play 9-hole events. It's pretty player friendly. It's not competitive, crazily competitive at that point. Especially for the kids, the parents might want to just sit in the parking lot in the car and just not watch because, Mike is a Little League manager, Matt. And so, it's the parents, and I say this as a former parent. Oh, except you're never a former parent, but my kids are old now, but you know, parents go insane about all these things, and they tend to live and die with every golf shot that their child hits. So and the kids are almost less upset. And I think sometimes I just think the parents should just drop these kids off and let them figure it out, you know. But that's my IMO for the day. So.
Anyway. I won't comment on parents.
No, I know you can't. I put you in a bad spot there, Matt. So, Mike's going to agree that yes, Little League parents are insane. So,
yeah, no, and listen, we have a great group on our team, but in general, and we've seen this we're a 9-year-old 9U baseball right now. It is you certainly see the parents, you hear the parents. You're just out there trying to teach and trying to have fun with the kids, and I'm sure. On the IJGA side too, right? You're just trying to teach the kids the game and get them out there to have fun because that's how they grow and continue on in the sport, right?
Yeah. We want them to have fun, especially when they're 8 to 10-year-olds. We want them to go home and want to continue to continue to play our events, come back year after year, and continue to grow and, you know, get better at golf. And I mean, golf is a lifelong sport, and it's just a very, very enjoyable sport to a point.
And I think one thing that you do, Matt, before we let you go, is you teach the kids kind of the etiquette and the there's all these protocols in golf. You know, where do you stand? In what order do you putt? All kinds of various things that I hear, particularly I hear women later in, who just never got any familiarity with golf when they were younger, and they feel a little bit out of place. And I'm sure there's a lot of men who never played who have to go to these pro-ams or these company outings that they play in, and they just feel out of sorts. But, you know, as a young person, if you can get into this game and just kind of learn just these basic little things about golf, so you don't feel like a complete goofball when you go out there. It, when you're older, you just feel a little bit more comfortable. And I've heard people say, you know, thank you. You know, they're just happy to take a little group lesson at some point in their life where they learn these little protocols. So I think junior golf would be a great place for them. And I know you have a lot of girls in the program now.
Yeah. Our girls membership has grown about 20% since 2010. So, and we have, you know, more and more girls going on to play college golf, and it's amazing how quickly, you know, we see, you know, especially if it's across the board, but beginner golfers, you know, come back 2 or 3 years later and they're already shooting the 70s. So it's remarkable what these kids can do in a couple of years. So it's great to see. And the girls are definitely growing over the last couple of years.
Well, Matt, it's been great talking with you this morning and learning more about the IJGA. If people want to come on out to the Illinois State Juniors, how do they go about doing that?
No, they just come on out. They can. They're on our website. There's a spectator form for them to sign, just agreeing to our regulations and that they'll behave on the golf course. And the first tee time starts at 7:30 to about 9 o'clock, and then our afternoon wave starts at noon and runs to about 2 o'clock.
And the awesome. And the final day would be what, Matt? It'd be Thursday.
Yeah, it's Thursday. It's top 50 in ties make the cut, and you know the first tee time starts at 8 o'clock, and most of those kids that are going to make the cut are going to go on to play college golf. It's going to be we have a kid that's committed to Oklahoma State, a kid that's going to be an incoming freshman at Clemson. So, you know, we have great talent on display, and, you know, it's the future of college golf with most of these kids playing in the event.
Sounds great, Matt, and we appreciate your time today, and we'll check if you want to check out the IJGA, IJGA.org is the website. Lots of good information on there as well. Matt, we appreciate you this morning.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks, Barry.
Thanks, Matt.
That is Matt Wenmaker, the Executive Director of the Illinois Junior Golf Association, and if you do want to go, as I said, IJGA.org at McRae in Barrington. It starts Monday, and then, as Matt just said, July 1st, Thursday, the final round there, the Illinois State Junior Championship. So some good stuff there with some competitive young golfers, the high school age there, that you can check out locally right here at McRae. Before we take our break, Barry, we want to give stuff away. We love giving stuff away.
Oh,
we're giving.
We're very giving people, Mike.
We are givers. We are givers. It's cdga.org/contest. You could register to win the CDGA Season Starter Pack. You get an Imperial hat, a towel, a zero-friction super tube with Spectrum Matte balls, tees, and a universal fit glove. Everything you need to start the season, cdga.org/contest. A nice prize pack there. Check it out, and you can win. And when we come back, Barry, we're done with the Carpenters, and I did confirm it is Richard Carpenter. I don't know why I knew that.
How could that have slipped my mind? I mean, as many times as I listened to that over and over again when I was 16. No, I'm just kidding.
No, and see, the funny thing is I was not even born when they came out, but I somehow knew that his name was Richard Carpenter, which scares me even more than the fact that you had forgotten it. But we will do more Connecticut music. That's because the Travelers is there when we do Swing Thoughts next. Dave Peglow will join us talking about playing under pressure, an important thing we can all learn from. Coming up next, right here on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. He's Barry Cronin. I'm Mike Esposito. We are here with you on 670 The Score. And we are back on the Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine. We could let this play out, Barry. So this is not the Carpenters. This is the Clash, and we love them. And it's walk-up music, Barry, for our Swing Thoughts segment. We talked to a golf pro, a head professional, in this case, Dave Peglow from Kishwaukee Country Club out there in DeKalb, about tips for our listeners. And Dave, we join you this morning on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. First, excellent choice on your walk-up music. And second, thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thanks for having me today.
Dave, we're going to talk a little bit about playing under pressure, and I know you play a number of, played a lot of Illinois PGA events over the years, and the Illinois Open, et cetera. And maybe do you have an experience maybe where you could tell us where you've been playing under pressure, and maybe how you handle it, and maybe that's a way that that our listeners who don't probably play a lot of competitive golf, you know, big tournament golf, maybe you could relate it to them.
Yeah, tournament golf is much different than playing golf at your home club. It's more stressful. And things that I do is I try to visualize myself back at my home club at Kishwaukee and just on the driving range hitting golf shots that I do. And it just brings me back to more of a comfortable, relaxed situation. And I don't think about so much of the situation in a tournament, specifically certain shots that may come up during the round that make it a little more stress. So I try to get myself back into that comfort zone back at the club.
So do you have a specific tournament or a specific event you can tell us about where maybe you had to make a really good score in order to win?
Well, last year in the Illinois Senior Open at Royal Fox, I was tied with Mike Small, the golf coach at University of Illinois. And 18 at Royal Fox is a par 5, water on the left, trees on the right, and it's an island green. And Mike hit first, and he hit it in the right tree, so I thought he was probably going to have to lay up. And this is so I was on the 18th hole, and it was a drive that I – wasn't really comfortable with, so I tried to visualize myself back home, and I got up there and hit a drive right down the middle, and felt really good to come through with a clutch drive like that, because now I knew I had an opportunity to maybe hit the green in two, because I thought he would have to lay up. But I was just trying to get myself visualizing the shot, visualizing myself back on the driving range back home, and it really made me feel a lot more comfortable. And the next shot, I ended up hitting on the green and making a putt for an eagle to win by one shot. So it was a pretty exciting time last year.
Dave Peglow is our guest. He's the head pro at Kishwaukee Country Club out there in DeKalb. And as he just told us, the defending champ at the Illinois Senior Open coming up this week at Royal Fox. And we're talking playing under pressure. And I know, so Barry tells me you have two sons who play collegiate golf. So that's, and I'm sure they're learning and they have learned at a young age. How did you try to instill that in them in terms of, you know, the mental part of the game and being competitive at a young age?
Well, I wanted them to play in as many tournaments as they could. I really feel like tournament golf really tests your game and it really sees where your game is. They played in the IJGA tournaments throughout their young career and ended up doing fairly well. And just getting them out on the golf course and playing with their friends and playing a lot of golf, a lot of tournament golf. So they've had a pretty good summer so far and been playing a lot. Excuse me.
And, you know, it's interesting, Dave, what you were talking about, being on the tee there on the 18th hole at Royal Fox last year and then being in the fairway. So what you really did when you're on the tee is that you're trying to take yourself away from the pressure of the moment and imagining yourself out on the driving range at Kishwaukee or on the first tee at Kishwaukee, which is, of course, where you've been the pro for many years. And in a relaxed state of mind and realizing how well you can hit the ball, really, when you're just relaxed. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to get your body to free yourself up and be able to execute the shots that you've done so many times back home at your club. So it's just it's a different feeling of your body when you're in a tournament, because it's a little more stressful and more consequences on each shot. But you try to get yourself in a good frame of mind and just relax and hit the shots that you've hit before many a times.
Right. And if you're just a regular golfer, sometimes you get tense and get upset and really feel different type of pressure, the pressure to not hit it, not shank it the second time in a row, or not hit it in the water the second time. And I mean, that can be stressful. So it's just a different type of pressure, certainly not tournament golf, but you don't want to, oh my gosh, I'm going to make an eight on this hole. And maybe you're out playing in a company outing, or you're playing with people you don't know that well, and you don't want to embarrass yourself. That's a lot of pressure too.
Oh, definitely. People put a lot more pressure on themselves than they need to.
Yeah, right. I think we all need to remind ourselves, and I try to do this too, and I am by far the worst of the three of us at golf. I can tell you that right now. I try to remind myself that we're out here to have fun, right? This is supposed to be fun. It is fun. We're out here to enjoy the day, play as best we can, have fun. That's kind of what I try to run through my head, and I still hit horrible shots, but that's kind of how I try to do it.
Well, that's why they have the cart girls that deliver the beverages to you on the course. And as Ozzie says, fun is winning. Winning is fun. So the better you play, the more fun you're having. Give us a little preview of this Illinois Senior Open coming up at Royal Fox, Dave.
Well, they moved the tournament up till end of June here. It's always typically been in the fall. And by moving that date, I think we've got more participation, which is a good thing. Hopefully someday we could have a qualifier to get into the tournament. But right now, you pay the entry fee and you're automatically in. So I'm looking forward to getting over to Royal Fox. I've played there many a times, and looking forward to the competition. And it looks like the weather might cooperate Monday and Tuesday, so that'll be nice. And Royal Fox is a really good condition course, and it's a good test of golf, so it should be a fun couple days.
And everything is going well out there at Kishwaukee. I'm sure with the appetite for the game, I would imagine things are very busy for you guys.
We are. We've had a great spring, early summer. A lot of people have been joining the club. We've got a lot of young members that have joined, which is a good thing. Keeps the club healthy. Our one thing that I noticed this spring was we got a lot of 30 and under members that joined this year. And annual rates are about $1,200. And I noticed a lot of them were just paying them all up front. And I really believe they got their stimulus check in the mail, and they came right to the club and said, turned the stimulus check right over to us and said, we want to join the club and pay the fee right up front. So that's been a good benefit to have that stimulus check come out in the spring.
That's really good. It's exactly what it was intended for. And let's hear it for the expansion of the welfare state. Way to go. So that's terrific. And one last thing I was going to ask you, Dave, I know you've been out there many years and you've given a lot of lessons. What's the one thing that most golfers need? What do they need help with?
Well, I think the most common mistake golfers do is they move off the ball too much. Their head moves to the right too much, and they sway their hips. And it just results in a hitting behind the ball or topping the ball. And I really recommend when you make a backswing to try to just turn that right hip back and not have the head move so far to the right. What happens is you end up losing your spine angle, and then you end up having to kind of dive back at the ball just to get contact with the ball. So if you could stay centered over the ball on your backswing and just turn that right hip back instead of sliding the hip, I think that really will help someone get a good start to the swing and give themselves a good chance to make solid contact.
I think that's a really good advice. I think probably for all people, even as you know, Dave, the even the top pros on the PGA Tour, sometimes they get in a slump and they say, and you say, well, what happened? What did you do? He said, well, I just went back to my fundamentals. And, you know, it can be minuscule in terms of how much they're maybe coming off the ball, et cetera. And as amateurs, we do it, you know, twice as bad as they do.
Yeah, that is true. Sometimes that is the case. But sometimes those small little moves or swing thoughts can really change your game and change how good you can play.
Right.
Well, Dave, we really appreciate your time. Best of luck to you in the Illinois Senior Open coming up this week. If you make a repeat performance, we expect another guest slot with the two-time defending champion, Dave Peglow. So good luck with that at Royal Fox this week.
And you know, in Dave, Mike Small's gunning for you, buddy.
I know he always is. He's a tough competitor.
He's a good, great guy, and you're right, a tough competitor and a terrific asset to the state of Illinois, for sure.
Right.
Well, Dave, thanks. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining us this morning, and best of luck in the tournament and continued success out at Kishwaukee Country Club.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
All right.
That's Dave Peglow, and he is the head pro out at Kishwaukee in DeKalb, and will be playing in the Illinois Senior Open. He is the defending champ. That is scheduled for this week, starting Monday, at the Royal Fox Country Club in St. Charlesbury. So some interesting stuff there. It's as you just said, and as Dave was commenting on as well. It's often the simplest of things that could be the path right back onto success.
Right, you're right, and I do think people who play the game for a long time. Nobody wants to pay for lessons. I think that's one of the great, everybody loves free golf balls. That's number one rule in golf. everybody loves free greens fees. That's rule number two. And the other rule number three is people don't like to pay for lessons. That's why they buy, that's why they used to buy Golf Digest to look at the lessons inside the magazine, which of course change every month and it really gets you confused. But I think it's a good idea probably to just find a good PGA pro and go out there and just learn a few things. I mean, they can make life so much simpler on you if you find the right one. I mean, some of them, you know, you might not be the right person, but we have people on this show every week who are really good at their jobs. They're teachers of the year. They're great players in and of themselves.
Yep.
And so, you know, maybe drop a dime and spend a little dough and take a few lessons. And it's amazing how I've got friends who are, you know, they're not working anymore or they're semi-retired or whatever, or they join a club and they take lessons. And it's incredible. You can see how much better they're getting.
Sure.
Play more, take lessons, and you'll enjoy the game more.
Sometimes it sounds too easy, Barry, but I think that is good advice.
Right. Well, you know, we're here to help at all times.
We are helpers and givers, as we discussed last segment. So we're doing something right here. But when we come back here on the scorecard, you were able to sit down. It's an interview that you did with NBC golf producer Tommy Roy. You may not know his name, but you certainly know his work. He's the head of all golf coverage for NBC. 29 Emmy Awards, lots of career kudos. We'll get into those when we come back. And then later on next hour, we'll talk to golf reporter Dan O'Neill from The Morning Read. Lots coming up in hour two here on The Scorecard, presented by Chicago District Golfer Magazine on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.